looking for news and politics talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Happy Friday Eve. It's Thursday night, and we're back. Just
yes,
like
we
promised we would be.
Now, we are probably going to float away during this show and be an impromptu arc.
Yeah. Wow, it has been raining all week, pretty much.
Well, you know what they say, April showers bring May flowers.
Well, yard's going to be full then. That's all I can say. Wow. Yeah. All kinds of rain, big old fat rain coming sideways.
A little bit of stinging rain.
A little bit of stinging rain, and rain seemed to come up from the ground. Jeez Louise, man. A little bit of everything. You got something to start us off with over there?
Yes, I do.
It's Devotion Time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is called Tell the Things. Go and tell John the things you've seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's from Luke 7:22. What a joy it would have been to be alive during the time of Christ and to actually see those wonderful miracles. However, the experience of seeing the miraculous does little to overcome the power of sin or to give us the power and courage to proclaim the gospel. The disciples had seen Jesus raise the dead, walk on water, multiply bread and fish, give sight to the blind, and open deaf ears. Yet they still deserted Jesus in the garden of... Oh boy, that's a word I don't know how to pronounce. Anyway, until the new birth, our understanding is darkened, and we are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us because of the blindness of our hearts. That's from Ephesians 4:18. Until that time, we are spiritually blind, lame, deaf, and dead in our trespasses and sins, and in deep spiritual poverty. That's why we need to hear the gospel and come to Jesus. The soul search tonight is, do I see the world's pains as rooted in the spiritual realm? And the prayer, Father, use me today to minister to a lost soul.
Amen. And would that be the Garden of Gethsemane?
Thank you. I was going to destroy that. Yes.
I was like, whoa, she's stuck.
I was like, oh, well.
Your pass. Oh, my goodness.
Next name, please.
Next. Hey, last week, you remember I told you I was going to give you a part two this week, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a little secret. You may or may not know this, okay? So get ready. It might surprise you. You ready?
I'm ready.
All children are rebellious kids, okay?
You don't say.
I'm just saying.
That has been the mystery of my entire life.
So what to do when kids rebel? Like, what does the Bible teach us to do when kids rebel? And tonight, that's what we're going to continue in part two. And I think some of this you'll find quite humorous. A lot of it you will find very informative. But in a very biblical and a little bit funny way through some of it. Because, you know, as I was looking up these things and I was like, well, that's kind of funny, but it's really serious and true. So get ready for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was having a conversation about rebellious children today with my tribe. And we were talking about ways to deal with that. And it was everything from smacking your kid in the backseat with your flip-flop. To time out in the corner to know Barney.
Well, you're gonna get some more insights tonight. This is gonna be a good one. Coming up later in the show, but you know what it's time for right now?
the news.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news. So, great big old headline right in the middle. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Trump retires infamous nickname for Hillary Clinton and reveals a new one for Biden.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. So, he retires Crooked Hillary.
Oh, I was going to go with Killary on that one.
And nickname unveils Crooked Joe Biden.
Oh, my goodness.
Says 2024 is the final battle to save the United States. And
I thought you
would agree with that.
I thought you were going to say 2024 to settle the score.
I'm just saying I would agree with that. Regardless of Trump or whichever Republican, hey, it is a battle to save the United States, period.
At this point, it sure is.
So, yeah, it definitely is. And
there's been so much craziness that has gone on this week in the news. I was like, what are we going to lead with?
Oh, my goodness. But on a funnier note, a bar loses customers after warning patrons it will not tolerate intolerance among guests about Bud Light.
Oh, good grief.
So, yeah, I thought that one was kind of funny.
Mm.
But seriously, I mean, that's all that stuff is very, minute and small compared to a lot of the things that there are going on in the news. Oh my goodness.
More shootings, more deaths.
Yeah.
Did you see hear the news story about the three teenagers that were throwing landscaping rocks off a bridge and killed a woman?
Yeah.
That was kind of nuts.
It is. And, you know, it just amazes me do you want to call it I'm not even really sure how to put this, the lack of responsibility on the parents' part of these children and simply just, you know, throwing the hands up and not caring, or what is it?
Well, you know, I mean, I look back at things that kids did when we were their age, but we didn't do anything that was malicious and, you know, killing people. I mean, you might TP a house or egg someone's car, and I mean, those things are bad, but, you know, what did they think was going to happen when they started throwing landscaping rock at moving cars on a highway?
I do not know.
And I would think that with everything that we have in the information age, that three teenage boys could find something better to do than that.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's sad that, you know, it's come to this, and it's bringing up a lot of stories from the past, you know, of other kids who have been arrested for doing the same thing and killing people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we got that going on. You know, we also have the illegal, uncontrolled drug thing that's going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you've probably never heard of this stuff, but there was a Philadelphia customs agents, okay? They seized 6 gallons of a liquid known as Coma in a bottle.
Coma in a bottle.
Yeah, it was bound for Florida. And it's gamma brutalactone. It's GBL.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, it was destined to an address in Florida. Of course, they've made no arrests, but 6 gallons of this stuff.
I mean, I'm taking it that if you take too much of this drug, you wind up in a coma.
Yeah, I mean, 2 separate shipments arrived from Europe.
So is this supposed to be something like fentanyl?
Well, it was inside of each shipment was a single clear plastic jug, and it's filled with an opaque fluid. And they used a handheld elemental isotope analysis tool that identified the liquid, which it's listed as a Scheduled 1 control substance.
Okay? Mm.
And it's basically an acid. It's gamma hydroxybutyric acid, GHB. And it's a highly addictive central nervous system depressant that can result in severe health consequences, including respiratory distress, coma, and death.
That's what I was thinking, because I'm like, if it's paralyzing your central nervous system, you're not able to breathe, your heart can't beat.
Well, if you think about, you're like, we've never heard GHB before. GHB. It's used by sexual predators as a date rape drug.
It's a roofie.
And by bodybuilders to increase growth hormones.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really, that's kind of crazy. I mean, you're dealing with fentanyl, then you got this stuff, then, you know, coming from Europe and the fentanyl coming across the border, and, you know, what all are our kids being exposed to?
Well, either way you put it, there's no good outcome for taking either one.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
And of course, teenagers being teenagers, your parents are always stupid. When you're a teenager, you know more than your parents do until you become about 20, 21, and then you're like, oh yeah, they were right.
I don't know as much as I thought I did know.
Exactly.
So, and, you know, speaking about don't know as much as you did know, of course, Biden announced that he was going to run again.
I love that segue.
And, you know, it's raised a lot of questions, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there was a poll taken that said something about 70% of people polled did not think he should run again.
Yeah. And you know what my comment on that was?
Oh, yeah.
Are they talking about 70% of the 40% who still claim they're Democrats are going to vote for him?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's like a percentage of a percentage, okay? It's not a real number. I mean, you know, if you say, okay, well, we're going to talk to 100 Democrats and ask them if they'd vote for Biden. Okay.
Yeah.
Seven of them saying they would is not 70%. Okay.
No.
It's more like seven. You're adding a little zero there on the end of it.
Or maybe they only interviewed Republicans and they were all like, no, no.
I mean,
please, no.
I mean, wow. So the approval rating, meanwhile, you know, they were saying that 67% or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So a Gallup poll now, okay.
That just makes me think of horses.
Has found that just 37% of Americans approve of Joe Biden's performance.
I wouldn't even think it was that high.
So that's what I mean. That's that 67% that's really only 40% of it what's left. So it's really only 37%.
Oh, that's way too much math for me to do in my head.
So, I mean, you know, looking back and looking at, you know, what was done, he'd have been a whole lot better off if he'd have just left the things that Trump had put in place and sat back and hid in his basement for 4 years.
Right.
And not done anything.
Nope.
But instead, from day one, he came in there like a wrecking ball with an attitude.
He was Miley Cyrus song.
And started tearing things up.
Well, I saw a tweet that he, and I'm using my air quotes, that he put out there today talking about the previous administration and celebrating Infrastructure Week. And he's talking about they've already come up with a gazillion projects that they want to do, and it's going to be infrastructure decade. And I'm thinking to myself, there are a lot more things that are important, like making sure that you're people in your country are, you know, sheltered, fed, have a job like that before we need to really sit down and look at roads.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, if there's a bridge falling apart, you know, sure, fix it. But
they've been talking about infrastructure for 4 years, and I haven't seen. I do believe that I-85 going through South Carolina has been a mess for the last 20 years.
I know. It's awful. That has to have been a 4-year project.
40-year project. You forgot a zero. See, you forgot a zero when it counted, and they added a zero when it really didn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how that's working out tonight. That's Common Core math for you right there, folks.
That's right.
Common Core. And when we're speaking about some of the things that are really hot topics that really have biblical implications, you know, we were listening to some news earlier where they were saying that a lot of hot topics – probably the one of the biggest hot topics there are for politics right now is right to choose, abortion, still abortion. And we clearly know, you know, what the Bible says about it, but the world is still pushing that. There are people still pushing that. And see, these are the real things that are coming up over the next year or so. These are the real things that we really need to be thinking about and looking at. And looking at how this country is, you know, like on the attack against the Christians, on the move against the Christians. Everything that is,
excuse me,
want to say wholesome or what this country was about, they just want to kill it completely.
Well, you know, I wonder if these people that are so hot over the topic of abortion and right to choose and you know, when it's okay to have an abortion and at what point is it not okay and so on and so forth. Are these the same people that are outraged with all the shootings and, you know, innocent people that are dying elsewhere, or is that a different kind of subject?
I've got one term for you. Okay, you ready?
Mm.
Peaceful protest. That's what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was called during the whole summer
of peaceful protest.
Of 2021?
Mm-hmm.
Peaceful protest. That's what it was called.
Set it on fire.
There was nothing peaceful about it.
Nope. I still love that one news guy that was standing out there like, as you can see, nothing's going on here. And it's like behind him, it looks like hell, flames everywhere.
Well, you know, all of these things going on, there's still, you know, there are definitely more things coming up and coming out now. And there's some pressures being applied and being put on. And there's some things, you know, more things with Hunter Biden coming to light.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Lawyers meeting with DOJ about a potential, what they're calling a resolution. You know, if that was Don Jr., they would have already.
Oh, he'd be under a jail.
Well, yeah, but they would have already, like impeached Trump again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many things that a person has to do and be caught in. I mean, in my lifetime, I can't remember more things that have come up that have been outright fictitious remarks that have come out of the president's mouth over the last, you know, over his, not just his presidency, not just his vice presidency, but looking back over the history of Joe Biden. How many times has he flip-flopped in order for it to meet a political agenda?
Or get votes.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was a truck driver. I was this. I was that.
No, you weren't.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mr. Top of his class in law school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, that was the top of the bottom of the 10%, okay?
Right.
The top of the bottom 10%, okay?
Right.
So since we're keeping in tune with the Common Core math of the night.
Like, I was the top of the bottom.
Yeah, I was the top of my class right there on the top of the bottom. I mean, you know.
Well, you know who is in trouble and who's looking for a possible spank on the wrist, if you will.
Oh, do tell.
Maxine Waters.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
There's another.
She's in hot water about some comments and things that she's made. And I'm just like.
No, that's just the rooster coming to crow right there.
I'm like, it's never going to happen because they're talking about there's possibilities for this and possibilities for that. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. That'd be the same thing that people were saying about Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
You know, like ride her out on a rail. Yep. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean.
I'm still waiting for Hillary.
There's going to be more and more of that to come out. And there's something here, too, that I wanted to bring up that has come up in the news. And it's happening in a few states. Texas has been one of the ones that they've announced that they have put blocks on people from foreign countries that are hostile from buying up land in the U.S.
Oh, that's probably a good plan.
And now North Carolina lawmakers have voted to block China and hostile foreign countries from purchasing U.S. farmlands.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't realize the number of companies, and large companies at that, that are now owned by Chinese firms.
Right.
Like, here's a big one, Smithfield. One of the largest producers of
bacon,
pork products, hams. You know, there are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Owned by a Chinese company. These are the things that we have to look. I mean, given the hostilities and the things that have come out, those are some really scary things that are on the fronts.
Absolutely.
You
know, I did hear about some legislation that's coming out that's going to be voted on that would be moving quite a chunk of money from the IRS to border security.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for that.
Definitely. You know,
they hired a bunch of IRS people that, you know, were supposed to be combing through everyone to find everyone's last dime that they owed. And I don't think that that's necessarily the most important thing we need to be worrying about right now.
Well, right now, you know, there are so many things with the economy right now and personal finance that people need to make sure that you're staying aware of, because I'm going to tell you, it is getting worse. GDP has fell short again. The average rate on long-term mortgage is climbing again. You know, it's the markets were looking a little green there before they closed, and now everything's in the red. It dumped off at the end. So everything is still trying to climb out of the hole that it's in, but it still ends up closing in the red. These are real things that are going on, and it's even getting so bad now. You got companies taking multi-layer approaches to combating theft, and they're trying to curb more shoplifting by putting things in locked up cases, and even in places like Target, who just lets everybody come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that a lot of people are talking about. So just stay vigilant, folks.
Yeah, and two, be aware that, yes, we are going into an election year coming up. I mean, it's literally like a year from now. We're going to be selecting who is going to be running this country for the next 4 years. And just remember that, you know, your vote does count, But also remember that there's going to be lots of shiny objects out there to misdirect where you're looking.
And when they talk about the accomplishments that have been made, are they really accomplishments? Or are, you know, think about it. Stop and think about where we were, where we are. It's not our job to tell people who to vote for. We just want to, you know, tell you to look at everything.
Absolutely. And listen to everybody, because they're going to be telling you what they think you want to hear. And you need to be able to ask those hard questions.
Yep.
And we need people who are in the media to stop playing the game with these people and to really be there and help us get through all of this.
Yeah. And you gotta pray about your decisions too, folks, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You have got to think, you've got to pray about your decisions. Now, there's one more story I want to talk a little bit about before we go into our message for tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, this story is coming from a Christian news outlet, okay? And this is talking about Tucker Carlson this week.
Oh, goodness, yes.
So, you know, true things prevail, you know, is what they're saying. But, you know, he emerged with a video just 2 days after Fox ousted him. And he released a 2-minute video on Wednesday evening delivering one of his iconic broadcast-style monologues that once brought deeper analysis and investigation of stories many mainstream media outlets wouldn't cover. So, really and truly, there's a lot of statements being made, but no clear reason has truly been given for his firing. The April 24th statement by Fox simply reads, "Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. We thank him for his service to the network and as a host. And prior to that, he was, you know, a contributor. And his last program was Friday, April 21st. So they're saying Fox News Tonight will air at 8 p.m. So some analysts on the right speculate he was being released because he pushed the envelope one too many times and upset the corporate leaders at Fox, who have been linked to Republican Party leaders. So that's the thing. I mean, and in this new viral video, he didn't address why Fox ousted him. He didn't even mention Fox. And instead, they said he offered some fresh insight on the world, pointing out that the lack of honest political debate in establishment media outlets. So he also blasted both political parties, meaning Republicans and Democrats, indicting the two dominant parties are pursuing such similar ends that America has essentially become a one-party state. And he contends that the powers that be know their days are numbered, so they have given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. And he said that one thing that he has noted since is that when you step away from the noise for a few days, is how nice some people are and how hilarious some people are. The other thing you notice is when people take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the baits you see on television are. He said they're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember we heard them. Trust me, as somebody who participated. So he said, true things will prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left. But there are some, and that's enough. And as long as you can hear these words, there's hope. See you soon. So we'll definitely see, you know, where that goes. But You know, there's lots of speculations, just like this week, you know, Disney was going to move to Atlanta, and the National Guard was blocking the streets going into Disney. Both two fake stories, right? But you probably heard of them. Did you?
I didn't hear about the Atlanta thing, but I knew about some of the issues they've been having, and I know what's been going on in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were selling, they were shutting it down, and they were building a new Disney World in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. That's like, I'm going to take all my play pretties and go home.
That's right.
But, you know, I did want to add, too, about the Tucker Carlson thing, that they think it could have been in response to the lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems that Fox settled on for $787.5 million. And that it was one of Tucker's revealed text messages that was the center of that case.
Yeah, but look at the news source that you're getting that from.
It was part of a USA Today.
Well, that was also article. Said on CNN.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, so. I honestly, with the Murdoch family and the way that they are, I wouldn't doubt that that could be a possibility. Yep. But, you know, I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know, but we'll just see how it turns over the next, you know, several weeks. And, you know, hey, everybody has a voice. And, you know, you just got to wait to see what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you ready to start learning?
Jace.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
Okay, as I said, part two from last week, where we're going to talk about tonight, you know, what do we do when kids rebel? And I said at the beginning of the show, some things in this are going to be funny, but it's, you know, it's all biblically backed. But, you know, and the little secret is, you know, all children are rebellious kids, right? So let me start tonight by saying that rebellion is part of our nature, okay? Some kids are born angry. They come out of the womb red-faced, arteries pounding, screaming obscenities.
Oh, goodness, I hope not.
They make a strong-willed child look wimpy. And you know when they're rebellious, which is pretty much all the time. Then there are the easy kids who are born placid, contented, pretty much just lay there. I had never seen one like that. But, you know, when they get a little older, they don't cry much, never whine or get out of line. They just quietly do what they want to do. But you got to keep your eye on the quiet ones, right?
That was me.
Yeah. Okay. So my point of this is that all of us in some way, in some time in our life, are rebellious. Our work as parents is quite simple. It is to prepare our kids for this life and for eternal life, more importantly. In other words, it is to teach them to be good and godly men and women. And this is parenting. Now, modern parenting methods, you know, often involve some interesting ideas which don't have a lot to do with raising good and godly kids, but it's more about survival. You've probably seen these methods, or you may have even found yourself using them. You know, there's the ostrich approach, also called the close your eyes and hope for the best parenting method. Just take care of the basic needs, shuttle them around, feed them, clothe them, and look the other way, and it'll all work out in the end. You know, there's the delegator procedure and approach, believing that good leadership always means delegation. This parent uses others to raise his or her children, child care, daycare, schools, church camp, school counselors, scouts, coaches, Sunday school teachers, youth ministers, and anyone else out there whom they can delegate parental responsibility. There's the parents out there with the taxi cab schedule. Parenting is simply a transportation problem. They believe that lining up a full calendar of events and activities, it was what makes a successful family. Sports, music, drama, dance, cooking, woodworking, karate, youth group. These worn-out parents aren't purpose-driven. They're activity-driven, driving their kids anywhere and everywhere. And then we got the Neiman Marcus style parents. This parent believes that if he or she just provides a child with the best of everything, then all the child's needs are met. Nothing but the best for my child. Clothes, toys, schools, a car, or maybe even a Hummer. Okay? Then there's the Warden approach. This parent runs a tight ship like Devon Trapp father in The Sound of Music. These drill instructor parents focus on keeping all external behavior in line with a detailed set of rules that their kids would describe them as rigid, critical, meddling, and angry. Then there's the church mouse parent. This parent believes that the more time the kid spends in church, Sunday school, and youth group, the better off they will turn out. There is some truth to that, but sometimes church is also used as a punishment. Then there's God's way. God's way is about guiding and growing kids to become what God imagined when he fashioned their soul and created their personality. So tonight we're going to look at a well-known proverb that is not well understood. Proverbs 22:6 says, "As the twig is bent, so is the tree inclined." Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So that's Proverbs 22:6. So parents are entrusted with children to raise up godly offspring to powerfully influence the world for Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22:6 is a religious rabbit's foot that many sorrowing parents and grandparents, for that matter, desperately resort to when children stray from the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They interpret this to mean they will stray away for a time, but then come back. But that isn't what it says. It says that even if they're raised in the wisdom and the way of the Lord, they won't stray away at all. Even in old age, they will follow the wisdom of God. So certainly it's true that children raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord can stray from God. They never get away from the prayers of their parents or the seed that has been planted in their hearts. Parents should never despair, but keep on praying and trusting God to bring wayward children to their senses. But that isn't what Proverbs 22:6 is speaking about. Like the other Proverbs, it's not making an ironclad guarantee, but laying down a general principle. So a great tree begins as a weak sapling. It requires careful guidance in the early years to make it grow straight and strong, right? So we'll talk about the Hebrew word for train means to dedicate. When you dedicate something, you set it apart or mark it for a special purpose. This word appears 17 times in the Bible. 16 times it has been used with the reference to the dedication of a building, an object, or a house. There is one exception, and it's found in Proverbs 22:6, where the verb is used in the sense of instructing or training. As parents, we are called upon to dedicate our children. Our hanak seems to include the idea of setting aside, narrowing, or hedging in. The word is sometimes used in the sense of a start child training involves narrowing a child's conduct away from evil and towards godliness, and starting him in the right direction. So Gleason L. Archer suggests that in verse 6, this gives the following range of possible meanings. Dedicate the child to God. Prepare the child for his future responsibilities. exercise or train the child for adulthood. And that's from the Encyclopedia of Bible Difficulties. So we should do this in a threefold way. We guide them in the proper direction, okay? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. The word train here in the Proverbs means to hedge in or direct. It is our responsibility to direct our children. It's not for the schools, daycare centers, or grandparents, but for the parents to provide the direction. It is an investment in their lives. The church is to supplement what the parents provide. We are also to letting children be free to develop. Coleridge was once talking with a man who told him that he did not believe in giving little children any religious instruction whatsoever. His theory was that the child's mind should not be prejudiced in any direction, but when he came to years of discretion, that he should be permitted to choose his religious opinions for himself. So Coleridge said nothing, but after a while, he asked his visitor if he would like to see his garden. The man said he would, and Coleridge took him out to the garden, where only weeds were growing. The man looked at Coleridge in surprise and said, "Well, this is not a garden. There's nothing here but weeds." "Well, you see," answered Coleridge, "I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself and choose its own production." So our work as parents is to hedge them in and head them in the right direction. It is a little like setting up fences to keep them away from dangerous areas and making sure the other directions are unrestricted so they can go as far as they want. Give them positive discipline. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him, from Proverbs 22:15. So training a child requires both positive and negative reinforcement. One can discipline a child by encouraging words and actions. They need building up. However, only accentuating the positive can lead to warped thinking. So sometimes it's necessary to physically correct the child. Spanking teaches the child that there can be dire consequences to their actions. It's not politically correct in today's society, but in the economy of God, He approves of correct physical discipline. Without a doubt, the rod is an effective tool for making sure children grow up biblically, spiritually, and emotionally healthy. In the Old Testament, rod has two primary meanings. One, of correction and judgment, and one of protection and comfort. For instance, it was the rod of God that was with David's comfort in Psalm 23. But it was also the rod of God that was used to protect him from injustice at the hands of his enemies in Psalms 2 and 89. Is there biblical freedom to spank? By all means, yes. Is there biblical freedoms not to spank? Of course, there is. But I honestly must admit, those types of cases are rare. I believe you're taking chances with discipline to rule out biblical spanking. The whole of the biblical counsel is to accept your God-given authority and correct and protect your child. While not always enjoying this rod of discipline, is their best shot at becoming an adult and the rest of the world can tolerate. So let's talk about the three C's of effective discipline. The power of the rod. Proper discipline involves three essential elements: correct communication, compelling consequences, and careful consistency. So with correct communication, It surprises most parents to learn that correct communication is the most important of the three. Parents who properly communicate instructions and expectations, you know, prevent to a great degree the need for consequences. So take as an example a mother who tells her young son, Billy, that it's time to stop playing and to pick up his toys before dinner. An effective parent has a child who picks up the toys because their kids do what they're told because, you know, do what they're told because they were told clearly and effectively. So one of our daughters, Katie, she's made a practice of giving her kids an instruction and then requesting the children to respond verbally with either yes or yes, ma'am. If they don't respond, she will repeat herself until they say yes or yes, ma'am. Does she not? Mm-hmm. And she knows that the instruction has been communicated, heard, and is now to be ready to be followed. So that's one example. So let's jump back to the story of Billy. So what happens if they have clear and effective communication and then they don't follow the instructions? What does mommy do if Billy does not pick up the toys? So let's talk about that compelling consequence. So before answering that last question, I need to make clear that what she should not do, she should not repeat herself. She's already made sure that Billy heard the instruction when you know, they responded. She shouldn't raise her voice. She shouldn't threaten. She should not bribe. She should not make a game of picking up the toys. She should not give her child the choice of picking up the toys now or later. But here is what, you know, here's what she should do. Either pick up the toys herself or leave them where they are and say nothing. If the toys are absolutely must come up right away because company is coming over or for some pressing reason, you know, she'd just go on and pick them up then. If they can stay where they are, she should leave them on the floor as we'll call it Exhibit A, because that's the scene of the crime, right? So regardless, mom now has two equally viable options, okay? There's a direct approach. She immediately informs her child that he will not be allowed to do something he was looking eagerly forward to. For example, going to the store for a new pair of shoes or that new jacket with the Tigers logo. Whatever it is, it must be something that registers as important to the child. So Billy, as mom might say, these toys which are still on the floor, tell me that you're having a problem here today. I've decided, therefore, that we will put off buying these new shoes until your ears are working as they should. So Billy might at this point run in and pick up the toys. When he's finished, mom should inform him that she will know his ears are working better when for at least 2 days in a row he's done everything she tells him to do the first time she tells him to do it, not the second. So although the toys are now where they belong, his healing has just begun. So let's talk about that delayed approach. If no consequence is immediately available, mom can wait until later in the day to make her point. Envision the family at the dinner table. Everyone is nearly finished eating. Billy, mom says, you may excuse yourself and begin getting ready for bed. I'll be up in a few minutes to help you say your prayers and tuck you in. So when Billy protests that his bedtime is a good 2 hours away, mom should simply tell him that since earlier in the day he was too tired to pick up his toys, he obviously needs to go to bed immediately. So besides, she might ask, I picked up your toys for you. There's a price to pay for everything, and my price is an evening without a child. So to add to this, recently I've seen a video that is a pretty spot-on example of this. The parents open their kids' bedroom door, and they had just came home from going out to eat dinner. The son asked dad, you know, did you bring any food home for me? And he replies, No, I don't think I got any. And then he asked the wife, if she remembered the food, and she says, no, I didn't bring anything home for him. I forgot. The dad looks at his son and says, wow, I can't believe we forgot. But I know that you understand. You understand the concept. You know, just like this morning when I asked you to carry the trash to the curb, and when I got home, it was still by the garage. Now we're going to have more garbage for next week. So when I asked you about it, you said you forgot. And now, you know, here we are with this situation. So I know that you understand the concept of I forgot, but, you know, maybe next week you'll remember to take the trash. So that is a pretty spot-on representation of what we're talking about here. The next thing you got is careful consistency. So in either case of this, Billy will eventually learn, assuming his mother is consistent in applying this very laid-back, no-hassle for everyone but Billy approach to discipline, to pay close attention to what his mother tells him to do and do it. Slowly but surely, the power of the rod of authority of his mother's calm, self-assured discipline will separate Billy from the folly of his rebellious nature. You know, we need to cultivate personal devotion to God. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:9-11. So this is our responsibility in teaching or directing our children to hear and respect God. It is more caught than just taught. Children must have parents who will invest in them for all the right God-honoring reasons. I was impressed by a question that was asked, speaking of elections, of the 2008 presidential candidates, okay? The Associated Press asked them what their religion is, whether there was a particular church they were a member of, and how often they attended services. So like the majority of the Americans, all the candidates are Christians. 7 were Roman Catholic, 3 were Methodist, 3 were Baptist, 1 Episcopalian, 1 Presbyterian, 1 Mormon, and 1 described himself as simply a Christian. So when the 16 candidates gave their answers, 7 said they attended church whenever their schedule permits or whenever they are in town. 3 said they attend at home or when traveling. 1 attends not often. 1 is looking for a church, and 1 said it's a private matter. Only 3 said that they attend church every Sunday. Now, I would never say that going to church makes you a Christian, just like I would never say that sitting in a garage makes you a car. Okay? Listen, the best way, and indeed the only way I know, to cultivate a personal faith in your children is to live it in front of them by participating in the church community and by exemplifying it in the details of your everyday life. Now here's the kicker. Parental hypocrisy is the biggest barrier I know to personal devotion to God in a church kid's life. Train a child in the way he should go. Literally, upon the mouth of his way. Upon the mouth of is a Hebrew idiom meaning according to or in accord with. A servant would respond upon the mouth of or at the command of his superior. According to his way. But what does that way mean? Scholars have interpreted this differently. Does it mean according to the way he ought to go, either vocationally or morally? Does it mean, as others have suggested, according to the demands of his personality, conduct, or stage in his life? Since way in Proverbs does not mean personality or stage in life, it is preferable to say that way means the proper way, the path of wise, godly living, which is emphasized frequently in Proverbs. Basically, the way of wisdom, it is from this proper behavior pattern of godly lifestyle that he will not turn when he is old, that is, when he is grown, attains adulthood. We should be concerned about at least four ways of our children. We should be concerned about their personality. This is a reference to the character and integrity. Our goal is to build godly children. We must teach them how to live holy. Godly lives, you know, godly lives through Christ while respecting their unique and different personalities. Some kids are musicians. Some are into books and learning. And some like to putter with mechanical things. And some like to be with people. Help them find their way. The next is place. It is important to recognize that being the first, middle, or last, or the only child does not make a difference in their lives. We treat them differently, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just the way it is. Take notice and make some adjustments. Each child chooses his own way, and we need to let them explore a little. We need to be concerned about their passions and pursuits. Finally, it's crucial that parents understand their likes and dislikes. What do they enjoy? Are we leading them in the correct way for them? Every child is different. We need to have them pursue the things they enjoy and encourage them to become godly leaders or godly followers. Remember that your work is to focus on both their earthly and spiritual journeys. Help them to develop realistic and reachable goals that are God-oriented. Inspire them to set the right priorities in life. It would be a tragedy and a travesty if we focused on sports, education, or any other earthly passion without remembering their spiritual formation. Remember that when you raise up a child upon the mouth of his way or according to their bent, then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Make God's way your way. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Don't confuse your dreams with God's purpose. So on June 30th to July 4th in 1870, there was the Natchez versus Robert E. Lee steamboat race. Two different captains raced from Natchez, Mississippi to St. Louis, Missouri. On the boat called the Natchez, they carried cargo and passengers. It was actually the faster of the two steamboats. On the other boat called the Robert E. Lee, everything was stripped away. The furnishings were removed and no cargo or passengers were accepted. They fired the boilers with bacon slabs and hog fat to make the fires burn hotter and to build up the steam pressure to push the boat through the muddy water even faster. The Robert E. Lee was ahead most of the race until it ran aground on the last day. It shook itself loose just as the Natchez came into sight, and they traveled together for some distance with people cheering on the banks of the mighty Mississippi River. Then in the early morning of the last night, both boats were covered with a dense river fog. Robert E. Lee plowed ahead without regard to the danger. And in a rove in St. Louis, 6 hours ahead of the Natchez. Not only had the Natchez stopped several times along the way to disembark and to accept passengers, the captain had also tied up for 5 hours during the fog. His actual travel time was shorter, but the other captain won the race. Or did he? This was a great debate among the whole of America. Even in Europe, it was argued. So, one boat captain forgot the purpose of his trip. He thought it was about winning the race, whatever the cost, while the other captain understood that it was to carry cargo and passengers safely to their destinations. One captain confused his own dreams of glory with the purposes of those who owned the boat. The other boat captain kept faith with his trust. God has granted you, as parents, a trust. Don't confuse your dreams with God's purpose. Your children are not yours to use for your own vicarious glory. You don't need to push them in your ways according to your bent, but in God's ways according to their bent. God has given us a principle, not a promise, in this passage. Christians ought to desire for our children to trust in God in all things. So what'd you think of that?
That's pretty good. Yes.
You know, if you're raising your kids right, raising them in God's ways, if they rebel, those prayers are going to be felt. The seeds that have been planted are going to remain, and they will turn back. But you got to start it right in order to be able to even get to that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the deep stuff. This is the stuff I was talking about. This is what it takes. You know, when we're talking about, you know, children, how it seems like every day we're hearing something new. Kids throwing rocks, you know, killing someone, you know, rummaging in the streets, tearing up towns, tearing up stores, you know, shooting at parties. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's sad, and it requires a lot of prayer, right? But if you're listening to this show tonight and you've never taken that first step, and you don't know where you're going in your life, you know, now's the time when you really need to take some inventory of your life. You need to realize what's going on. It's time to wake up. You've got an important decision to make, not about your life here, but your eternal life. You know, admitting that you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sin and repent. And believe that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for that. And pray to invite Jesus into your heart. If you've never done that before, you don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't want to have a preacher, or priest, minister. You don't have to have anybody do it for you. It's about your personal relationship with God. Simply say this simple prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, coming into my heart, and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you've already made that big first step. You've already asked for your forgiveness. Now you need to get yourself a Bible, start digging in, start, you know, find you a good Bible-based church, get involved in a small group, start talking with like-minded people, start learning how to pray. Oh, good Lord knows there's lots of things that need prayer in this world right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got any thoughts over there? Or are you going to give me the no?
No. It's not that I don't have thoughts. It's just that I don't have time to unpack everything.
Oh, believe me, that is a big suitcase you carry.
Always got something to unpack.
Yep. But, you know, think about some of the things that, you know, we're saying. You know, pray about it. Pray about a lot of things that are going on. That's the only thing that's going to help us get through it until the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got any last thoughts for tonight over there?
No, I'm just giving you the Miss Jerry.
The Miss Jerry. Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate you joining us, just like every week. Hope that you'll join us again next week. Don't really have a topic yet, but hey, if you've got an idea for a topic.
Yeah, y'all got to do something because, you know, y'all going to leave me to my own devices, and you know how that goes.
Yeah, if you got an idea, something you want to hear, a topic, prayer request, anything, reach out to us. We're going to leave you with a commercial here at the end of the show telling you how to reach out. We really appreciate you joining us. Hope that you'll join us again next week. And we will see y'all right here. Everybody have a safe weekend.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolititalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Does life hit you so hard that you've been knocked down? Have you gone too far to find the middle ground? Did they raise you so high just to pull you back down? Have you been so lost you could never be found? 'Cause I've been real, I've been fake. Been a sinner, been a saint. I've been right, I've been so, so wrong. Yeah, I've made my mistakes. I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. What if we're all the same in different kinds of ways? Can you relate? We both know what it's like to be hurt. We both know what it's like to feel pain. But I think it's safe to say
produced by Sound Image Productions.